Y'all not gonna clap.
I didn't do a good job.
I was just playing. You didn't have to clap. I'm Richard. I'm an addict.
Hey, Richard.
It's good to be clean. And I always start off by thanking God for another day alive. And I always can I move this? They can't hear me. Is this one? Okay. And I always say that if he wakes me up, the rest of the day is on me to be the best person that I could be, you know, based on the principles that y'all had gave me to work this program. I want to thank the CMP area, for inviting me. My good friend Eric called me. He's a regular visitor to Atlanta. And I live in Atlanta by way of Baltimore. So y'all not going to hear about cornfields and all that shit. You know, freedom marches, you know. I might cuss a little bit. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, you know. You know, I was looking at the theme of the convention, sharing our gratitude, and I like looking at the themes and the topics, because the topics always fit the theme. You know, I'm a member that spent the 7 years in on the programming committee, and I guess eventually I had to give it up, let somebody else do it, but. I love this atmosphere, you know. The topic is coming to believe, you know. And the brother asked me, was I enjoying recovery? And I told him, you know, yeah, you know. I finally got to a place in my recovery that I'm accepting myself a little bit more. And the more I accept myself, the more I can accept y'all and allow y'all to be where you at and grow at your own pace. You know what I mean? My home group is on the west side of Atlanta. It's the First Step group. We meet Monday through Saturday. If you're in Atlanta, 10 o'clock. Mondays, it's a.m. First thing, smoking in the morning, right? The Monday group is all the meetings are discussion meetings, right? So Monday's meeting is a discussion meeting. Tuesday is a IP pamphlet. Wednesday is a topic. It's a topic meeting, right? And Thursday is a question and answer. Friday is a speaker meeting, and Saturday is a round robin, you know. And I'm in my 10th year. And I still secretary. Matter of fact, I got to get back home the week after next because it's my turn to secretary. 2 weeks. I've been up in Baltimore since Monday. I like to get an early start when I'm asked to do something, so I come a week early, you know. And again, he asked me, was I enjoying recovery? And I'm like, you know, hell yeah, because I get an opportunity to move around at my leisure. You know, I made a mistake early in my life, and I worked a job, and something happened, and I guess unfortunate for them, because that's been 20-something years ago, they still have to pay me. I don't work, so I just, you know what I mean? I don't know how that shit happened, but, you know, I'm always happy when a check comes, you know. I was sharing the other day, some new people had said to me, you don't look like you use. It's hard to believe that, you know, you use, right? And so I had told them what my last job was in active addiction, right? I was sitting on the steps in the projects, and I had ran out of ways and means. And I had a cousin who had his own business. And so I went to him and asked him, could I work? And he said, okay. And he managed some going-ons at this high-rise building in Baltimore, right? And so he gave me a gun, and he put me on the top of this elevator. And there was a little kid in the elevator. He was the elevator operator, right? And there was another guy up on the top of the elevator with me. And there was a guy way up on the roof. Now, we had got the key from the for the elevator from the maintenance man. He shot dope. I think that was his mistake. And so we had a key. And this is my first day on the job, and we going up and down the elevator, and I'm the one holding the bag, you know, and I'm shaking, and things dropping all around, and y'all don't know how many, if we sold any, because I dropped a whole lot of them. And so the elevator came down for the last time, and I climbed down, and I told my cousin, I said, hand him the gun back. I said, you know, I'm out of my job description. I'm a crackhead. You know, crackheads don't handle guns, right? Crackheads don't handle guns. You know, if I had a gun, it would be a smoke out of, right? So I gave him his gun, and he gave me $30 and two things of the shit he sold, and I went up the street, and I looked back, and he's like, you know, well, what? I said, I'm scared. You know, I'm scared. That was just, it was too intense for me. You know, and police everywhere. I don't mess with them. You know, and so I said, look, call my brother. He into that type of shit, you know. I like robbing my own house. You know what I'm saying? I like that. You know, I can handle going in my mother's pocketbook. You know, pawning out somebody else's car. You know, I can do that type of stuff, but gunplay, you know, no. You know, so, you know, one other job I had, I was a lookout guy. And I've been wearing glasses all my life. And if I take, look, you know I ain't had no glasses, right? Right? If I take the glasses off, I can't see nothing. So the police cars in Baltimore are white. So every time a white car came, I had their asses running. And they were like, you know, they're like, wait a minute. That wasn't a police car. That was a Volkswagen. I was, you know, you put me here. I have a wife, right? She wanted to come with me. And she's from Baltimore too. She had never been here. I've been here before. I've been years ago. I didn't see shit. I was about as high as a police helicopter when I was here. I didn't see nothing. Water or nothing. I didn't even know we crossed water. You know, so she wanted to come and she couldn't come. You know, because usually when I go to do this, I stay a couple of weeks. You know, I leave a week early, stay a couple of weeks, stay with some friends. And she delivered babies. And this was a heavy month, because even though people don't have money, they still doing that other thing, you know. And I'm so glad that they doing that, because it brings money. And, you know, they just keep on, what Spike Lee say, you know, as long as they keep doing that, you know, we all right. But this kind of, my beginning here kind of remind me of the job that she do. You know, sometimes she comes in and she describes, you know, what the delivery was like, and sometimes she has to help the baby out. You know, or sometimes she tells the woman, you know, push, and the woman pushed the baby out. And I was like, that sounds like some recovery shit. You know, because, look, I had to be pushed in here. The police gave me a ride here. You know, the judge suggested that I do something, or he was going to do, it was either here or jail. You know, and I knew I couldn't run around like I wanted to in jail, smoking crack. So I said, well, you know, maybe recovery ain't a bad idea, you know. And I came here, man, and I've been here ever since, you know. And when I got here, man, I came in at a time in Baltimore where, when you were new, I came through treatment. The treatment guy said, go to the meeting. And when they ready to give out those key tags, and they give out the white one, right? You get up and you get you a white key tag. You say your name, and you ask for some help. So I said, well, who am I looking for? He's like, if you don't get your ass to the meeting, raise your hand and get the key tag, I don't know who's going to help you, but somebody will. And two old guys, because I had my white key tag, and I saw, you know, I had been to a meeting before, and I saw people get key tags, and they were sharing and stuff, so I thought you shared. And these two old guys hopped up the front real fast and said, don't say nothing, come on back here with us. You know, so for my first 9 months here, they were my guides. You know, the women probably can identify with this, right? I'm not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? When I got here, I had a pair of women jeans, skinny legs. Right? They didn't have no pockets in the back. I had a nice women's sweater on with a big old flower on it. I had a women's windbreaker jacket with colors on the shoulder, multicolored, pair of purple fluffy socks, and a size 9 pumpkin seed tennis shoe, and I wear 11. And somehow or another, I got my feet in them because Karen told me I needed to go get one. And you know, my habit was I would sell my clothes when I'm smoking. You know, and I always hung around women. So you can imagine some of the shit that they would put. You know, because look, some days they could trust me to go get one. They would look at me and say, yeah, he looked like he'd come back today. You know, and they thought if they put that shit on me that I would come right back. Because you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you something, man, right? Look, somebody, and I think this is true for all of us, somebody was trying to give us something before all of this. You know, I know the literature very well, and it looks just like the same stuff that Lorraine and Melvin was trying to give me. And Louise, my grandmother. Looked like the same stuff. You know, some of but I didn't believe them. You know, they didn't do nothing. But when I got here, I believed y'all. You know, because y'all had said y'all had been where I've been. And y'all understood. Because y'all laughed a little bit with the outfit that I had. And y'all laughed and just said, keep coming back, you know. But for the most part, man, people were nice to me. Because I had to wear that shit for a while. You know, I didn't trust myself with money. You know, my mother and sister used to buy clothes for me. And they said, the last outfit I sold that they bought, they said, we ain't buying you shit, not even with your money. You know, because I still had an income when I got here. You know, I had to surrender with the income. Right? I had to surrender with the income. I had to surrender with the key to my mother's house. Even though I had stole everything from out of there, she wouldn't take her key. You know, and I think I used for like 30-something years. You know, and I used everything, but I mostly, man, I loved this. I was smoking my ass off, you know, and I had to surrender with money, you know. Some people seem to think that God pick us, but our literature says that we have to make a decision. You know, I thank him for keeping me alive long enough to make the decision. I have been put in a position to make it many times. You know, many times. You know, when the bullets coming past you and you're in the hallway with the knives and all of that shit. No, that wasn't my surrender time. My surrender time was sitting on the project steps. Right? On ice. Outside of Kern, she had put my ass out for the 55th billion zillion time. And you know, when you out and you ain't got shit, that's when you start feeling sorry for yourself and wishing that you could do some different shit. You know, and I was sitting there, man, and I was just thinking about, you know, maybe I want to do some different stuff. You know, but I couldn't move. You know, I had a little thing in my sock, man, that I used to puff out of about that big, right? And that thing used to hold me on the steps and say, look, if somebody come through, right, you see if you can convince them that they can get a puff out of that. You know? Those were tough times, man. You know, I was so glad, man, when I got here, them guys were here for me, man. You know, they picked my sponsor for me. They said I wasn't in no shape to pick nothing but blue tops, black fat bags, blue bags. You know, so they picked him, you know, and at 31 days clean, I started doing step work. You know, and I didn't stop. You know, we did step work. We had worksheets on the traditions, and we studied concepts, you know. And you know what? I'm in my 10th year, and this is the 14th time I've done this. And this is not bragging. It's un-fucking believable. Because I was the person that they used to say, oh, he's a quiet guy. But this program gave me a voice. You know, this program gave me a voice. You know, I've been here 3 years, 30 days from celebrating 3 years clean. My mother died. And a couple years after that, about 8 or 9 teenagers jumped on my father coming out of a convenience store and beat him into a coma. And I kept on coming back. Right? Because I had come to believe in this process long before that happened. You know, when Donnell and Lawrence grabbed me by the hand and they helped me to get out of that women's shit, I started to believe that there was something going on here that I might need to just, regardless of what happened, you know, just keep on coming. Nothing is as bad as trying to get one with no money. You know, and usually when I'm home, I don't do a whole lot of talking. Right? Because we the people that could get something with nothing. So I know it's not about talking all the time. You know, so my recovery is based on how I live. I live pretty good. I still do stupid shit. You know, I don't know how I end up in it. You know? But I'm glad that I got the woman that I had, because she just scratched her head, you know, like, you know, because she's not a member here, but she damn glad that I come. You know? And is that it? She's saying that's my time. She said, and I'm glad that I come. You know, I got a speeding ticket coming down here. I left Baltimore about 7 o'clock this morning, right? Because I forgot how to get here. You know, and I said, well, I'll get there early and whatever. And I got a speeding ticket. And I wasn't afraid to get a man. I had a license. You know, I was like, bam! Right? And he went to the car, and he said, well, your Maryland license is suspended. I said, well, shit, I don't live in Maryland. I live in Atlanta, you know. And he said, well, I don't know what, I had nothing else to do but let you go, you know, right? And so, somebody might be saying, well, that's God. That's a result of the way that I live, right? You know, because if y'all don't think that's right, that's the shit y'all gave me. So, you know, y'all taught me how to live like this, pay my bills and be responsible. You know, I'm glad my kids ain't little no more. They was grown when I got here. You know, but he gave me a goddamn ticket, you know, in my wife's car, you know. And because I drive an old raggedy-ass pickup truck And she drive a Porsche, you know. And I didn't ask her could I bring it. She was asleep, and I left an hour early. Right, took the keys. So she riding around in the pickup truck that laid it to the side, you know. But and I know it's somebody new in here. The program works. You know, I don't know what you might be going through, or you know, you don't know about this, or you think that people are treating you bad, or they don't have your best interest. I don't believe that shit, because I don't have my best interest, so I sure can't put that on you. You being just who you are. And I've learned that from the keep coming back process, because it's in there. you know, that I come to a level of acceptance.
Yes, sir.
You know, so she told me stop. You know, so I'm going to stop, right? Because usually I go against all goddamn rules. You know, my man here going to share, you know, and thank y'all again for inviting me. You know, it was worth the ticket.